Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to our View from the Top Rope, where we discuss pro wrestling from a higher vantage point. I'm Chad, here with always in Zeus's lair with my good buddy Diesel.
How you doing, Chad?
Oh, living the dream one day at a time, man. Had a pretty, solid week. I was pretty busy at work, but I still managed to get in a, fair amount of pro wrestling. I'm almost caught up on the G1, which I'm definitely talking about tonight because it's just so awesome right now. But, WWE had Battleground and SmackDown and Raw. How about you?
I've been excited to hear about the G1 because I haven't heard much about it yet.
Oh, it's absolutely been amazing so far. Even Yano, who I do not like, he's had good matches. He's impressed me. I've enjoyed every part of the G1. But we'll get to that a little bit later. So this week, Diesel came up with an idea. So last week, I kind of blindsided him with that question about Vince McMahon and what would happen after he passed away. And so we decided that from now on, to start the show, we would give each other a mystery question. So neither of us have any idea what we're going to ask. And Diesel apparently cooked something up. So I'm going to let him go first. And I'm going to have to answer, just blindsided at all. And then he's going to give his opinion. And then I'm going to ask my question. So I'm going to give the microphone to you there, Diesel.
So you know what they say about payback, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to say it because we're trying not to swear, but I have heard that phrase before.
Well, I'll give you my question then.
All right, buddy.
My question to you is, out of anybody that's currently contracted with the WWE, who do you think should request their release and go work on the independent scene?
Ooh. So are we counting the NXT roster as well on this?
Yes, I'm looking for more of someone that's not being used.
Not being used at all.
Yeah, not like AJ Styles, because that wouldn't make any sense.
Right? No, of course, I'm not going to say AJ Styles. Ooh, that's a really good question. You were not lying when you said you had cooked something up here. So my first thought was Cassius Ohno, Chris Hero, because we were just watching the NXT match. I watched the first half, and then we decided to do the cast. So I haven't finished it, but we were just watching that, and I want to say him, but I feel like they have something, coming for him. So, I'm going to have to go. This is a really hard question. Wow, you really got me here, Diesel. I do not know where I'm going to go. So I guess I'm going to have to go with Cassius Ohno. That's where my brain went right away. It's the only one I can think of a valid argument for. He got one title shot. They've really done nothing else. He feuded with Sanity for a minute, and then he stopped. And now he's feuding with Hideo Itami, which is kind of cool. But I've heard that Itami wins this match pretty decisively. So I don't really have anything for him. So I'm going to go Cassius Ohno. But I know you have an answer cooked up already. So what are you going with?
Well, I'll respond to what you have to say. Cassius Ohno, that's a good pick. He is this feud with Itami kind of feels like a dead end. So, yeah, he's kind of not done as well as hoped ever since returning to NXT. But I would probably go with Luke Harper.
Oh, darn it. Didn't even think of Luke Harper on that one.
He is very underrated. He's a powerhouse. He can do athletic powerhouse moves.
Have you ever looked up any of his stuff from when he was in Japan? I'm pretty sure he was in NOAH, or maybe he was in All Japan, maybe DDT. Actually, I think he might have been in DDT. Don't quote me on this. I know he wrestled in Japan. I've seen things on YouTube. I've never seen a full match, but he can do some amazing things.
No, I've only seen his American work with WWE and Ring of Honor, but I think he's a good talent. I think he could go and reinvent himself on the indies and win some titles. And I don't know if the route would take him back to the WWE, but I think he'd be better off in the independent scene.
Well, I can definitely agree with that. He has to be the one. Him and Rowan have to be the ones who are attacking the fashion police, though, right? I mean, who else is there?
Well, I didn't come up with this theory. Actually heard it from Ollie Davis from the Wrestle Talk News.
Oh, good plug right there once again. We don't know them, but we like them a lot. So
Wrestle Ramble. And they retweet us every now and then.
They're cool guys.
And it makes us feel special.
It really does.
But anyways, he said that he was thinking it was going to be the Sanity. If you think about it, when the last TV tapings, Eric Young was not at the taping, and when Alexander Wolf cut his promo, he said that the boss was off conducting other business. could have been off to destroying the fashion police's office, and then they're going to probably hold this off till SummerSlam. Then the Sanity has their match the night before at TakeOver Brooklyn against Authors of Pain. So they have their match, they'll lose, and then they'll reveal themselves at SummerSlam as the ones who destroyed the office.
Well, I mean, that would be a lot of fun. But we talked about it before. The NXT tag team division is so thin right now that I don't think you can bring Sanity up without just laying waste to your entire tag team division in NXT. So while that would be awesome, I don't see it happening. I think they have to use Rowan and Harper. I mean, otherwise, what are they going to do, release them?
I don't know what they do with them, but I can see it as a possibility, especially with the rumors of the superstar shakeup after SummerSlam. And they're saying now that NXT is going to be involved, so people are going to go from the main roster to NXT as well, which I think is an interesting idea. They're just rumors. Nothing's been officially announced.
Yeah, no, there's really – they've kind of, you know, hinted at this another superstar shakeup after SummerSlam, but nothing concrete's ever come out about it. But, yeah, I mean, if they bring up NXT guys, then I guess Cassius Ohno, they could use him on Raw or SmackDown right now. Just be another bruiser. He doesn't even have to. He can challenge for any of the mid-card belts. And he can be a face. He can be a heel. But, yeah, I think he should move on.
You got a question for me?
Oh, I do. So my question is actually much nicer. I just decided to go, you know what? I just wanted to talk to Schwenner about something. So my question to you, Schwenner, is what is your favorite finisher in all of pro wrestling right now, Diesel?
Right now or of all time?
I'm going to go right now.
Wow. That is a tough one. There's a lot of good ones out there right now.
Oh, come on. This is like a softball, man. I lobbed this one in here for you.
I'm drawing blanks. I don't know. I kind of like Ty Dillinger's new tiebreaker. That's a cool one.
The fireman's carry twisting into the face buster.
Yep, that's a good one.
I kind of liked it before when it was the Ushigoroshi. Once again, I just love being able to put in times when I can say weird names of moves or people that I know how to say. And it makes me feel better about myself, Diesel.
I mean, the F5 is always classic.
I have two choices, and you haven't said the other one, what I thought you were going to say, Diesel. But the F5 was my first thought.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite one, but it's classic, like I said. I've been seeing it for years, and I really can't think of anything right now. Just like you, it's kind of hard when you put me on the spot like that, Chad.
I think we've come to realize that this, while fun, I think we might keep doing it because it's really fun for us to look at each other, and just the blank look on each other's faces must be great, isn't it, Diesel?
Yeah, I'm still trying to think of finishers.
So I clearly did think about this a lot. My first thought was Kenny Omega's Angel Wings, just because of how protected it is in New Japan right now. I mean, he hits one, and unless by some act of God you are by the ropes and can get your foot up, you are getting pinned for the 1, 2, 3. So that was my first thought on this. My second thought, though, the one that I actually went with, is the figure four leg lock. And it can pretty much be considered anyone's, but I'm going to go with Charlotte Flair's, and actually when she bridges it up all the way into the figure eight, because it is truly a thing of beauty. And while it is, you know, a stolen move, she has completely made it her own, where you just can't understand anything at all with how great she is. Her moonsault's great, but the figure eight leg lock is my favorite finisher in current wrestling right now. So I just realized that while I love the figure eight, I totally called Kenny Omega's finisher the, what did I even call it right there?
Angel's Wings.
Angel's Wings. I am sorry. I am an idiot. Please don't blow up the comments about it. It's the one winged angel. I apologize. I own like 6 Kenny Omega shirts. I vehemently apologize for my idiotic comment right there. Diesel, do you accept my apology?
I do. It's okay. I know how much you like Christopher Daniels too, so.
I mean, we were talking about Christopher Daniels before we started this. I mean, you at least mentioned him, so he was on my mind. So I do blame you a little bit.
I thought of another finisher while you were talking right now.
Oh, what did you got?
Feast Your Eyes from, what's his name?
Donovan Dijak.
Donovan Dijak. I almost called him Jonathan, and I knew that wasn't right, so then it just threw me off.
Good call. Good call. We didn't want to make two of those blunders, Diesel. So we're going to roll right into our battleground reactions. I said it right. Once again, I'm on a hot streak. So right away on the pre-show, we had Ty Dillinger versus Aiden English. And Aiden English actually won this match.
Yeah, surprisingly, Aiden English won the match. I mean, I guess we forgot about 50-50 booking.
Yeah, we definitely, well, yeah, we definitely forgot. Both of us forgot about the 50-50 booking rule in WWE. But his new finisher was pretty cool. I think it was actually his old finisher, though, didn't he use it in NXT?
I can't really remember. I didn't see much of Aiden English before the Vaudevillains.
Yeah, I didn't either. And I don't think he never used it as a Vaudevillain, but I feel like it was his original finisher. But I like it a lot. It's a cool move.
Yeah, I thought this match was one of the more entertaining matches in the entire night.
Yeah, and it was stuck on the pre-show, so basically no one watched it. But it was a solid match. They, you know, got the crowd going. It really, you know, got me amped up for this pay-per-view that I thought was going to be good, Diesel.
Yeah, but it looks like this feud's going to be going further, and it's kind of like the Bray Wyatt-Seth Rollins feud. It doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't. They just seem to hate each other for no good reason. So we'll move right in. The pay-per-view started, and this actually was my favorite match on the entire card. We had the Usos versus the New Day, and the New Day won the SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
It seems to be a common theme when the Usos start off a pay-per-view that they have match of the night.
Yeah, they always are ready to steal that show and get the crowd totally into it. There was so many near falls, great just tag team psychology throughout the whole match. I loved everything. And Xavier Woods' walk on the ropes to the elbow drop, where he went literally across the entire ring, Diesel, was a thing of beauty. And on his Twitter, he actually posted it in slow motion. Looks so awesome.
Yeah, Xavier, he's crazy. Kind of confused why they didn't have Big E in the match, but I mean, I guess they didn't need him, so.
No, as I said to you before, it made sense. They had both won their matches against the Usos. They were the clear, you know, they had already beaten them, so they had the, you know, mental edge over them. And then they, you know, take the speed to beat the Usos' speed.
I get your where you're coming from, but I think power versus speed's a better matchup. But it doesn't matter. The New Day won, even though I was kind of rooting for the Usos.
I do love the Usos as well, so I'm actually glad this feud is going to continue. I hope they go to SummerSlam and maybe we get some kind of stipulation, maybe a no DQ match, something wacky. That'd be a lot of fun. The New Day plus the Usos, maybe they get a third member for some kind of crazy sum. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I kind of would like to see the Usos in a dream match with the Young Bucks.
Oh, now that would be good, some good stuff.
I have a real super kick party.
And did you see on SmackDown, the Usos did do the double super kick, just straight up Usos, or I mean, Young Bucks style?
They got Brothers Connection, both tag teams. It's, yeah. They got chemistry.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. We could have a true super kick off. So the next match on the card was Shinsuke Nakamura versus Baron Corbin, which Shinsuke won by DQ when Baron Corbin kicked him square in the, you know, man parts.
Who said last week that was going to happen?
Yeah.
DQ, maybe not the low blow.
Yeah, you did call a DQ, and I know our listeners didn't hear it, but he definitely did call it. I'll give it to him on that one. And I thought this match was decent until I saw their match on SmackDown and realized that this match was absolute garbage. And I don't really know why they put the better match on SmackDown.
Yeah, it was kind of odd that they did that. I was kind of excited for this match. It was one of the ones that was probably one of the dark horses of the night for match of the night.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I thought this was going to be a great one. And on SmackDown, they showed that they could have been match of the night.
Yeah, they definitely did not live up on Sunday.
No, not even close. It was kind of boring. And then, I mean, I didn't mind the DQ finish. That didn't really bother me, but I just honestly, after seeing what they did on SmackDown, they ruined my memory of Battlegrounds match, and I can't even think of a good spot from the Battleground match anymore.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is that clothesline by Baron Corbin.
Well, every time he does a clothesline is a thing of beauty lately. He is turning people inside out and left right or left ways right. He is the new JBL with that clothesline from hell.
Yeah, he must be training with JBL or something.
JBL does love him, Diesel. It's a lot of fun.
That'd be great if he was like Bobby Heenan, announcer and a manager at the same time.
That would be amazing. WWE, get on that. Get JBL. He doesn't have to be a bully then. He can be, you know, He can be a star. He can be helping out a younger guy who's the bully. It doesn't matter that Baron Corbin's a bully. We can just ignore that fact. So next on the match, or next on the card, we had the women's elimination Fatal 5-Way for number one contendership at SummerSlam. And Natalya actually won this match, pinning Charlotte for the victory. I can't say I was surprised. I did have Natalya and Charlotte as my final two competitors in this match. But I was a little upset with the ending. Charlotte's head missed that turnbuckle by a good probably foot. And while I liked the surprise, it fell a little flat for me, Diesel.
Yeah, I can agree with that. The match was a little shorter than I thought it was going to be.
It really did need like four more minutes, right?
I did like the quick pinfalls. I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah, as you told me earlier, the waterfall of pinfalls, I thought that was one of the best things you'd ever texted me before.
Yeah, so then I wasn't surprised by Natalya winning either, but and I'm not upset with it. I've always liked Natalya. I think that it's about time that she gets a big SummerSlam match like that.
Yeah, she definitely deserves it, I feel like.
And I kind of hope she wins at SummerSlam and get the belt off of Naomi.
Yeah, I mean, Naomi's just kind of been a flat champion. The belt's really cool, though. I do like the light-up belt. I don't care what anyone says. I also love her entrance. And I think Naomi is super talented athletically. But I don't know. I think her matches have just fallen flat. And you know who would love this podcast right now? Natalya, because she's obsessed with cats. And my cat just keeps meowing at me right now. And I don't really know what to do. But neither of us were surprised with Natalya winning. I'm pretty happy with it. I wouldn't say ecstatic. I knew Becky Lynch wasn't going to win, as some people kept saying, but that was an impossibility. Becky Lynch is pretty much the Sami Zayn of female competitors.
Yeah, who do you think's more likely to turn heel, Becky Lynch or Sasha Banks?
Oh, that's a good question. You know how much we need the Sasha Banks heel turn. So I'm going to go with Sasha Banks. I know WWE seems very reluctant to do it because little girls seem to love Sasha Banks right now. But Sasha Banks is just a phenomenal heel and definitely should be heel, not face.
It seems to me they're kind of building towards a heel turn with Becky, but they don't have to pull the trigger. It's kind of like a build-up. But it wouldn't make much sense for them to turn her heel. She's one of the only faces in the company that actually gets cheered.
Yeah, it's true. She is quite popular as well. I do like her steampunk gimmick. It's fun with the goggles and everything when she comes out.
Has some of the best music.
Whoa.
Yep, it's definitely a good one to sing along to.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Do we get to see? Have we seen Becky Lynch live?
No, not yet.
No, I didn't. I feel like every time I watch it, it's live for me because I sing along at home. So that's why I was a little confused.
She's the only one of the horsewomen that we haven't seen.
No, yeah, that is actually true. Yeah, because we saw Charlotte and everyone else. So next on the card, we had the AJ Styles and Kevin Owens match, which I heard this was a botch at the end, but Kevin Owens did regain his championship, the U.S. championship, the face of America, and neither of us got this right.
I heard that both sides, that it was a botch, and I heard that it wasn't a botch, and I kind of feel that it wasn't a botch because the fact that Kevin Owens' music played right away, so it was like it was queued up for it to play. And
it's a computer, Diesel. I could queue up both of their music right now and go boop. You don't have to shoot off pyro or anything. You just have to hit a button.
Well, I don't know exactly how it works, but I'm assuming that they have it down to a system because it's already predetermined. That I don't know how it works. I'm not even going to get into it. But also, another thing that makes me think it wasn't a botch was because of Chris Jericho returning the next night. Because I don't know, it wouldn't have made sense to have the triple threat match. Kevin Owens wouldn't even have been involved. And the Chris Jericho AJ Styles match would have been all right, but it wouldn't have made sense to bring Chris Jericho in just for that match. So I don't think it was a botch.
All right. You know, I hear all of your rationale, and I was just reporting what the internet said. As you know, the internet can't lie. It tells you everything that's true. I didn't think it was a botch either. It looked like AJ just reacted the way he was supposed to after the match. People were like, going to the fact that he kicked the stairs over and seemed to be yelling at people, but in kayfabe terms, he lost the title. He should be angry about it on a weird little roll-up thing. It was a good match, though. Solid. The ending, you know, once again, they just fell flat, and I didn't really even understand the ending.
Yeah, it was confusing. That ref bump, but then nothing happened.
Yeah, there was no reason for the ref bump. I thought it was pretty cool that Kevin Owens just threw AJ Styles into the ref, but I didn't understand why.
I think that the ref would like call disqualification or something.
Yeah, I mean, it was accidental. And on on Talking Smack, the sad, sad version of Talking Smack that was on afterwards with Jerry the King Lawler and Renee Young, who's amazing. She should always be on there. But I'm just very mad that Jerry the King was on there. KO was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was at least a 3-star show only because of KO.
Yeah, KO is the man.
It was he was really good on there. They need to bring it back.
They need to bring it back. Bring Talking Smack back. And also watch Smacking Talk on YouTube and The Tout.
Yeah, it's the Yes Movement 2.0. We're bringing back Talking Smack.
We got so off topic on this. Because honestly, this pay-per-view was just not great. And I want to talk about other things because I didn't enjoy it. And I don't like talking about things that I didn't enjoy. But we have to keep going. So the next match on the card was the flag match between John Cena and the Dead Man Walking, Rusev, which John Cena, Super Cena, of course, won. And you didn't hear it, but I told you last week that I would cry if John Cena won this match. And I'm not going to say I did, but I kind of felt like it. Because Rusev, I feel, is kind of dead. Dead in the water. Might as well just release the guy. Lana has a better gimmick than him right now.
I don't feel he's dead. He didn't get pinned. He didn't submit. It was a gimmick match. And when they set up that table by those stairs, even when they walked out and he saw the stairs, he knew that there was going to be an AA off the stairs into the table.
Oh, yeah. I knew the AA spot was set up right there. What move was Rusev going to do through the table?
I don't know. Machka something.
And he's going to Machka something.
But yeah, so I mean, it was a pretty predictable match, I thought. But with talking about Lana's gimmick is better, I still think that they're tied together somehow, and that's going to turn the corner. And I mean, because this whole Tamina stuff with Lana on SmackDown, Tamina was real angry.
Yeah,
but it seems like she couldn't lash out on Lana because there's something holding her back. I think something with Rusev, I don't know. I'm interested to see that story unfold.
I totally love that Tamina is Lana's, you know, mentor and everything. And I see it more as she was really mad and didn't lash out because, you know, she's training her and she's just mad that she screwed up.
And she's barely better than Lana.
Yeah. But, I mean, she does have that really stiff super kick that looks like it's going to knock someone's face off every time she does it.
That's about it.
Yeah. I like how we're talking about the women again, even though we talked about them at length a few moments ago when we had their match. And we just totally were like, oh, no, the Rusev-John Cena match. I don't want
to
talk about that.
We don't even get to talk about Carmella, and she's the Money in the Bank holder.
Oh, she is the best right now. She's one of my most improved wrestlers, and she might be my favorite wrestler or female wrestler on SmackDown right now.
I think she's mine, too.
Yeah, and she's awesome.
3 Ellsworth shirt gets great.
Yeah, everything about her character right now is phenomenal.
So we got like a week or two before he can come back.
Yeah, it's gonna. And I always liked James Ellsworth. You guys soured on him, but I did not. I've always enjoyed the gimmick. I thought it was funny. I thought he has played his part perfectly. And if you follow him on social media after he grabbed that briefcase and the women of the world lashed out, he lashed back and it was hilarious.
Oh, he's a funny guy on the mic. It's an act. You can tell he knows what he's doing.
The Big Hog.
Yeah, Dan O'Brien. Name of the Big Hog on Talking Smack. Bring it back.
Bring it back. Bring back Talking Smack so we can get the Big Hog chant again. It was a lot of fun. So we'll move on from that then. Next, we had the chiller match, as we'll call it from now on. Sammy's the cool down. I'm calling it the chiller match because it's a gambling term. It's more fun. So we had Mike Kanellis versus Sami Zayn, which Sami Zayn won for no absolute reason. And both look worse after this win.
I agree. They should have never had the match on the go-home SmackDown. Then they should have saved that match for Battleground. And then they still could have had this week's SmackDown tag team match. The revenge match, the way they booked it was Sammy was trying to get revenge on Mike Kanellis, but he already won at SmackDown Battleground, so it didn't make any sense. So, but then with Mike Kanellis losing, getting pinned by Sami Zayn, it's almost like they're burying him, like, they're giving up on him already.
I've seen a lot of reports that Vince McMahon did not like their debut, does not like anything about this gimmick, and he wants it dead and buried.
It's sad because he's a good wrestler. I don't know. I think they should have probably started him in NXT.
Yeah, no, and I think there's still time. I think everyone writes him off and Vince gets really upset. Everyone knows, though, Vince is a flip-flopper, and one day he could hate something. And if you read Mike Kanellis' Twitter, man, I am plugging Twitter. Twitter, hey, give us a sponsorship. I'll talk about you all the time because I already do. But if you check his Twitter, people are ripping on his gimmick and everything, and all he keeps talking about is, at least I keep getting paid. Oh, what do you got? Nothing. And once again, it's just straight heel, just old school heat, and something I love.
Yeah, Matt Hardy replied to it too, saying it's nice to get your paycheck every week instead of having to chase it down for months.
Ooh, burn impact.
But yeah, I don't know. I kind of look at Mike Kanellis and look at like an early Chris Jericho. He kind of started out and they stopped him. They stopped his push right away because I don't know if he didn't fit the WWE mold like they thought he would right away. And then eventually he got some traction. He started going and everybody knows what Chris Jericho's done over his career. But I mean, this day and age, it doesn't seem like they give those guys a second chance. Once they fail, it's harder for them to get a second chance.
Well, if with this superstar shakeup, if they really are going to involve NXT, then I hope some guys get sent back to NXT. And I think that would make the product 1,000 times better. Dolph Ziggler on NXT would be reinvigorated and awesome.
He could work on his character, have feuds with people he's never wrestled before.
He could honestly be the annoying heel he wants to be, saying that I belong here and you don't. Because if in NXT, these are all people who aren't WWE like superstars, if you will. And so he could work that gimmick actually, and it would be great.
Well, and a smaller crowd too, I think his gimmick is more suited for anyway. So yeah, I think he could be a really good heel on NXT. And I mean, he's a good wrestler. I don't prefer him particularly, but I don't know. I think we getting off topic again.
But I just would love to see some guys go back to NXT. So the final match on this card was the Punjabi prison match, which up until the ending was actually severely brutal. The Singh brothers have some kind of death wish, and it's fun to watch them fall through things and just let themselves be ragdolls for Andy Orton. But Jinder Mahal did retain his WWE championship with the help of the Great Khali against Randy Orton. And I don't really have much to say about this match. It was kind of weird. I see why we haven't done it in 7 years. It was the best one we ever had. But when you're scraping the bottom of the barrel, it's not hard to go up.
It was 10 years. And yeah, I don't know why the Singh brothers are even with Jinder Mahal. They just keep on getting beat down, thrown off the top of the cell. I think that's what you want to call it.
The Punjabi prison, man. Come on. It's a Punjabi prison.
They're cells, kind of. Cages, whatever.
Yeah, I call them cages.
Yeah, thrown off the top into the announce table. And I was worried that the table wasn't going to break the whole time he was on the top of the cage. And then when he hit, and they did the slow-mo, you can see that he kind of bounced, and then the table broke. Man, that was brutal.
No, it was severely brutal. And as I said, I enjoyed everything up until the ending. But, I mean, Jinder won, and I like that. And he's going to now face John Cena at SummerSlam or Shinsuke Nakamura. But it's going to be John Cena.
So do you think that was a one-off with Khali? Or?
I hope it's a one-off with Khali. The man could barely walk down to the ring.
Well, I agree. But, I mean, if they did, like, a little Indian faction, like, that would probably be cool. I mean, but Jinder is kind of muscle. They don't really need another muscle guy, so...